and you humbly realize that everything that you succeed in, everything, every bit of favor that you receive comes from Him. And so, yes, you know God, you're familiar with God, you walk with God, you love God, you care about God, you know when His presence is there, you know when it's not. But in the midst of that, you walk very humbly. In other words, you don't treat God like a pop thing. You know, it was cool to have the presence of God. No, you realize that you are so privileged that God's presence is with you. Walk in a humble fashion. Now, what are the benefits of walking with God? What is it like? How is that going to change me? Genesis chapter 17, 1 says, "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am Almighty God. El Shaddai is the Hebrew. Walk before me and be blameless.'" God declared Himself to Abraham, and Abraham was 99 years old, and God was declaring something over him that was impossible in the natural. So God said to him, "I am El Shaddai." Now, I just want us to look for a moment here of what God was declaring when he said His name. When He said His name was El Shaddai. Listen to this. The primary name El signifies almightiness, but also all sufficiency. Therefore, God is saying to Abraham, who He's just saying that, you know, you're going to have a child, you're going to be the father of many nations, and I want you to know, even as I declare this over you, I am the all-sufficient one. I am El. I am the all-sufficient one. In other words, I can make this happen, Abraham. I really can. I'm declaring something over you, and I can make it happen. I have the goods to make it happen. El Shaddai not only enriches, but makes fruitful. This is illustrated well in the first occurrence of the name in Genesis chapter 17. When it was spoken to Abraham, who was 99, he had to really learn this, that God was the all-sufficient one, or else he would never have faith to believe God was going to do this. Now let's look at the word Shaddai, El Shaddai. The word Shaddai is formed from the Hebrew word shad. And this means, the word shad is the word used in the scriptures for a woman's breast. And is used, Shaddai therefore means primarily breasted. And one of the names of God is the breasted one. But think about the significance of this. God is Shaddai because he's the breasted one, because He is the nourisher, He's the strength giver, He's the satisfier. He's the one that nurtures. He's the one that nourishes. He's the one that comforts. He's the one that embraces. He's El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient breasted one. He is the one that puts His arm around you and cares about you the way a mother does for her child. He is the one that His heart goes out and that will do anything for the growth and benefit of the children. He is the all-sufficient breasted one. God is Shaddai. So El Shaddai is that name of God which sets forth the fact that He is a strength giver. He's a satisfier. He's the all-sufficient one. So if we walk with God, that means we're going to have the all-sufficient one available to us at all times. El Shaddai. If we walk with Him, He's going to be there with us. Just as Abraham heard the word of the Lord when He said He was going to be the father of many nations, he knew that he needed God. Now, the thing is, how many of us think that we need God today? How many of us think that we have something on our hearts that we need God in? Well, how about, Lord, I need a new car, or I need a new house, or I need a new job. Well, those are really mighty, mighty things, and those are wonderful, and I know God wants to help us in those things. But how many of also think that we have a little inclination way back in our mind here somewhere that, well, you know, if God doesn't come through, I still might be able to get by. It's like I heard one fellow said one time he was talking about the finances and complaining about the government and so forth. And I said to him, well, you know, what have you got to complain about, really? The government, you know, they won't let you starve. He said, well, no, they won't let you starve in such a way that they let you come pretty close, but they'll come through at the last moment. And sometimes that's the way we think about the things that we're believing God for, that there's something in the natural, some string that we'll be able to pull, eventually it'll come around. And maybe God won't really be in it. But what about if you heard from God and you had something, a promise in your own heart, you heard from God a situation like what God told Abraham? You're going to be the father of many nations. Hey, I'm 99 years old. My wife is 90 years old. When you get into that situation, you know you need God. You know you need God in a situation like that. You know, some people do things in such a way where you leave, you know, if you really want something, sometime you get you put yourself out, not so much in a limb, but you leave yourself a little leeway. It's kind of like asking God for a fleece about a certain thing. Well, God, if this job is for me, let me get it. Well, I mean, you could get it, and you couldn't get it in the natural, couldn't you? Now, I don't believe really in putting out fleece. I believe you should hear God. You know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You should hear in your own spirit. But I remember one time I was young in the Lord, and I put out a fleece. But the fleece I put it out that God had to answer it. Had to. And this is what I did. This doesn't sound silly, but I was just a new babe in Christ, and I was working on things. And I decided to take a glass of water and put it in the deep freeze. God had to answer by that being in the deep freezer all night and the water not freezing. Now, that would be something that would happen totally out of the normal, wouldn't it? But my point is, we need to get to the place where God is God. Where we get to the place where we absolutely need God, and we decide that we can't live another day without the intervention of God. Now, can we as a people, can you men, can you women, you know, everybody in this place, can you come to the place saying, Lord, I want to change. There's some things that I want to develop in my life. I want to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that I need you, God. I need help. I need you to change me. I don't want to live another day the way I am because you have something better for me. And I need God. Walk humbly before him. He is the all-sufficient one. He is the one that can fashion us into the likeness of what he wants us to be. He is the strength giver. He is the one who nourishes us. He is the one who cares about it. When we walk with him, these are benefits of God. These are the benefits of walking. He told us to walk humbly before God. Well, if we'll get rid of the pride, begin to walk more humbly before God, we'll begin to see his nourishing effect take place on our lives. His peacefulness come on our lives. No matter what the world throws at us, we'll walk in peace in a new level because of what he's done. He is the all-sufficient one. There's a couple of people who, well, Samuel was a man who was, the Bible said that he grew in the Lord and he walked with the Lord. And he grew in favor in the sight of God and man. And we read that about Jesus too in the Gospels, that Jesus grew up, this Bible says, and that he grew in wisdom and in favor in the sight of God and man. Now, let me read to you Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For let the days and long life and peace will they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you may find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So that you might find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. There's something about walking with God that demands a similar attitude toward one another. Can I walk humbly before God and be proud in the sight of man? Is it possible to walk humbly before God, but yet have a heart of pride when it comes to being around other people? Now, remember what Jesus said about adultery in the Bible. He went to the the leaders, and he said, look, he said, you say that you can divorce a wife or for the sake of adultery. But he said, I declare to you that even if a man thinks in his heart, in his mind, about adultery with another woman, he's already committed adultery in his heart. This just reminds me of something I read recently, and I believe I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, about an angel speaking to another individual who said, in heaven, men's thoughts speak louder than words. That's a powerful statement, folks. In heaven, men's thoughts speak louder than words. That's women's thoughts, too. Kids' thoughts. In heaven, men's thoughts speak louder than words. Now, whatever you're thinking about, anything I said this morning, remember, heaven's hearing it. Pride is something that can get in the heart. If we have prideful thoughts, most likely we need to deal with pride. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I just, in my life, I don't trust my own heart when it comes. I don't trust. I know I commit it to God, but I say, Lord, rip out any pride in me, any unhealthy pride in me, any pride in me, God, because sometimes I feel it wells up within me. Even a thought might come into me. It might be a prideful thought. Lord, forgive me. Rip this out of me, please. Because, you know, we can be pretty good at managing our lives around us so we don't present ourselves as prideful people. The same way as people can be good at anger management. They can be a truly angry individual, but they're very good at managing it. So it never comes out. Well, we can be truly prideful people, but we're very good at managing it so other people don't see it. But God knows the heart. He sees what's in there. So the walk humbly before God is, God, Lord, I don't trust my own heart. I know, God, that you see on the inside of me. Will you please help me, Father? Will you please help me rip out any pride that's in me that's keeping me from fellowshipping and walking with you, Lord? Take it serious and remember, you need God's help for this to take place. You cannot do without it, because it seems to be that men are prone to be proudful. But God wants to rip it out of us. God wants it to come out so that there'll be nothing there but humility. God wants us to walk before Him blamelessly, without blame. Now let's go to finish this off with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, Paul, the Apostle Paul speaking now, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, the message of the gospel is to show us how desperately we need God. The message of the gospel is to show us that all the wisdom of the world is not going to be able to accomplish the things that we need. The message of the gospel has to be accompanied with signs and wonders. There must, and as we preach the gospel, we're saying, God, just as we are praying in the prayer room this morning, Lord, may the gifts of the Spirit, signs and wonders increase in 2013. Lord, we need to see more of your hand upon us. We need to see more of a demonstration of the kingdom of God in our midst with signs and wonders following. Paul is saying, I don't want your salvation, your faith to rest in mere words only, in the wisdom of man. It must rest in the power of God. And we're so good at saying, oh, God, we're going to believe you now for 2013 is going to be the most prosperous year ever. God, I want to be prosperous. God, I want to grow. I want to have this. I want to have that. I want to have a better relationship with whoever. God, I need you to perform these things in my life. Well, are we saying that about, oh, God, I'm desperate. I want to walk humbly before you. Now, I've said that we cannot do this, we cannot walk in this without walking humbly before God and man. That's why God brings the body of Christ together. That's why God tells us to do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. He tells us to come together, and so that each one of us will learn to honor one another, to walk with one another. And often it's a pride-deflating experience when we grow with one another, we honor one another, extend love and peace to one another. When we encourage one another, it can deflate pride in our lives. And the inward temple will be renewed day by day. It'll grow, the inward temple. God wants us to, in 2013, to make sure that we're counting on His power. I'm reminded of a testimony who was caught up very much in the satanic ritual junk years ago. And the way she got into it was that a witch was kind of grooming her and showing her how to move things with her mind. And she got very excited about this. Now, she was a very disturbed and broken individual at the time. And so she was, this kind of excited her very much. And she got so to the point where she could move things. Things on the counter or whatever, she could cause these things to take place. And she was pretty excited about it, saying, you know, look at me, I can do this sort of thing. Until God started to deal with her. And the thing that God showed her was that she wasn't moving anything. It was actually demon spirits that she had invited to work in her life that were actually doing that stuff, and she really didn't have any power at all. And when she found that out, she was very disturbed. She was mad. She was annoyed because she thought she had it, but she didn't. It was simply a demonic force. Now, Paul said, I did not come with enticing preaching and speaking, but I came with demonstration and the power of God so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that when you see things taking place in your life, that you yield to the power of God, not the wisdom of the world or not a demonic force. That when it comes to power, when it comes to relating things to the demonstrations of power in this natural realm, it's not a part of man. It is God's power. It is God's power that changes things. And sometimes even in the natural world where men do wonderful, great things, it's not, they think they have the power, but I'll tell you, it's coming from another source. And God says, I want your faith to rest in the power of God, in God's ability to make things happen in your life. Not your own ability, but God's ability. Now, God does things through our ability and so forth. He blesses and puts grace and favor upon our ability, but it's still His power that it really brings it to this place of fruition, brings fruit to it. So in 2013, I want to challenge you. Are you a person who desires for the power of God to be demonstrated in your life? And will you use that power in order to be conformed to the image of Jesus and the destiny that He has for you? This is the question I have for you this morning. Will you use that power that's available? Not to get a new car, not to get a new house, not to, you know, to relate all these natural things to that, but will you use His power for change, personal change? Because I'm convinced if you will, we will see the blessing of God come into our lives in a new and fresh way. We'll begin to get rid of all the things that have been in the way of the favor of God. As you think about 2013 this morning and you are an individual who desires the change, you need to ask yourself, what am I going to do? What am I going to do as a statement of faith to God that things are going to change, that I desire change? What is it that you're going to do? God, how do you want me to change? What is it that you want me to fix? What is it that you want me to work on? What is it that you want me to give up? What is it that you want me to start, whether it be something in the natural? See, what we fail to do many times is make a statement of faith in the natural that will open the door to a spiritual change.